It was funny at first. I was sitting on the couch, beer in hand and enjoying my day, when I heard my wife's keys at the front door. "Hey, there's my two favorite people in the whole entire world," I called out, anticipating my son's eyes roll. My wife, looking slightly annoyed, shot me a look. "What?" I asked, straightening up on the couch. She jerked her thumb over her shoulder at our son, Melvin, who looked more like a penguin at the moment than a 9-year-old boy. He was wearing a big, ugly black coat that was about 3 sizes too big for him. It was covered in stains, animal fur, and God knows what else. My nostrils flared up and my eyes watered as I coughed a whiff of the damn thing clear across the room. It reeked of some horrible stench I could not place, and I nearly gagged before speaking. "Hey, buddy, where's the nice little jacket I got for you last week?" Melvin struggled. "I wasn't paying attention when it was time to go and took someone else's coat by accident. It feels really good though." How he could have accidentally thrown on such an abomination of a coat rather than the sleek $200 jacket I bought for him, I will never know. "But kids will be kids," I summarized. "Gotcha. Well, just make sure you take it back tomorrow, okay? Go ahead and hang it up. I'll be in your room to help you with your homework in a few." When I met him 10 minutes later, however, Melvin was still wearing the coat. He was seated at his desk, his notebooks and worksheets lying sloppily in front of him. "Aren't you warm, buddy?" I asked, keeping my distance for the moment. The damn thing really did stink. "No, I'm okay, Dad. I'm ready to work now." "Melvin, buddy, you really should." I heard my wife clear her throat behind me and looked back. She gave me a stern look, which was a reminder not to force our son to do anything he didn't want to. The word no was also forbidden in our household, as we were of the belief that children should always be able to make their own choices. I was suddenly reconsidering our philosophical views, but sighed and begrudgingly made my way over to my seat beside my son. I was just gonna have to endure the smell for the duration of his study time. But that wasn't all. We had to endure it during dinner as well. I could barely stomach 2 bites of my spaghetti before I lost my appetite entirely due to the sight and the smell of the coat from hell. Melvin, however, munched happily and even asked for a second plate. I was relieved when he finally ran off to play in his room. A couple hours later, as I settled down for the night, playing games on my phone, my wife entered the room looking alarmed. "Hey, Judith, everything okay?" She tilted her head slightly, looking back at the door and then back at me. "Yeah, I just tucked Mel in and, he wanted to sleep in the coat." There was silence for a few seconds as we stared at each other. "He wanted to sleep in the coat?" "It's no big deal, babe. I don't know, Judith. That damn thing is filthy. You don't think it's pretty unhygienic that after his bath, he's wearing that thing to bed?" "Forget about it. Tomorrow he'll take it back to school, and he'll be back in that expensive jacket you insisted on buying him." Oh, how I wish it would have been that simple. When I got home from work, ravenous for dinner, I caught a scent of a terrible, familiar odor as soon as I stepped in the house. Undoing my tie as I stepped into the dining room, I could see my wife sitting with her hands clasped under her chin, obviously livid but trying to hide it, and sitting in the godforsaken coat, looking as though he was the happiest kid in the world, was Melvin going to town on a cheeseburger. "Hey guys." "Hey Dad," Melvin muttered between bites, but Judith said nothing. across my arms, leaning against the doorframe. So, where's your jacket, buddy? Right there. Melvin pointed across the room at his jacket, which was hanging on its hook on the wall. Perplexed, I looked at Judith, who had not taken a single bite of her burger or fries. So, why did you decide to keep your classmate's coat? Did you find out who it belongs to? Melvin took a gulp of apple juice before turning to look at me. No one wanted it, Dad, so I'll just keep it. Great. Not a day passed that Melvin wasn't in Dad's coat. During breakfast, playing outside, going to the store, going to school, playing with his toys, he was in it every waking moment. It wasn't long before we got a call from his teacher, telling us how uncomfortable Melvin was making all the other students. I told her that I was going to talk with him about it. I spoke with Judith, and we came to a mutual agreement. Enough was enough. Melvin was going to have to take the damn thing off. When we approached him in his room, however, he acted like an animal backed into a corner. He got uncharacteristically loud and violent, throwing things across the room at us until we were forced to retreat. I considered calling a therapist, but Judith was against it. It's just a phase. You'll get tired of the thing soon. Just let it pass. He did not get tired of that thing. One night, I accidentally walked in on Melvin as he was taking a shower. Though his clothes were on the floor, the coat was not. He was wearing it as he showered. We were warned by the principal of the school that Melvin would be expelled if he did not get rid of the coat. Judith and I decided to try to rid ourselves of the damn thing while he slept. We waited until midnight before creeping into his room. The two of us tiptoed very slowly towards our son's bed, his back to us as he lay sleeping in the coat. If he woke during the removal, we were just going to have to wrestle with him until we got it off. Catching a glimpse of our reflections in the mirror across the room, however, Melvin was not asleep. I could see his reflection in the mirror, his eyes wide and bloodshot. He was lying completely still, a manic look on his pale face. I looked at my wife, who was still proceeding. I sighed and continued on as well. This had gone way too far. The coat had to go, whether Melvin liked it or not. We had scarcely touched him before he sprang up. A pair of scissors in his right hand, he slashed me across my face and nearly cut his mother as well. She grabbed his wrist and he jumped onto the bed, trying to pin him down. But Melvin seemingly had the strength of several men. He tossed the both of us clean through the air. I hit his rubber and fell to the floor, blood running down my cheek, and I glanced over at my wife, who was lying on her stomach several feet away. Melvin was standing in his bed, his bloodshot gaze upon me. "It is mine," he whispered, and the venom in his voice was enough for my wife and I to jump and flee from the room. I slammed the door behind me, locking it from the outside. Judith and I went to the emergency room. When I got 12 stitches across my face, we drove in silence as we headed home with no idea what to do about our son. My face dropped as I stared through the front windshield, wondering how things could have possibly gotten this bad. Melvin was sitting on the floor in the living room when we got home. He had a slightly yellowish tinge to his skin, his mouth contorted into a terrible scowl. "Mommy's going to hurt me," he crooned, then got up and ran up the stairs. "How did he get out?" Judith wondered aloud, though neither of us had an answer. The next day, I withdrew Melvin from the school. Our boy needed professional help, and his education was going to have to go on the back burner for the time being. We set up a meeting with a child psychiatrist for the following week and knew we would have to stick it out until then. Sitting on the couch and watching a movie with Judith, I heard Melvin's bedroom door creak open. I tensed up, listening as his heavy footsteps made their way to and then down the stairs. Call me crazy, but the horrifying smell that usually accompanied him seemed to have changed. I can't really describe it, but the odor was no longer repulsive to smell. Instead, it smelled slightly sweet. Had he raised the thing, or was I just getting used to it? I glanced back at Melvin as he came out of the kitchen, carrying a plate with raw hamburger meat and a spoon on it. Noticing me looking at him, he croaked, "Hey, Dad," then continued walking. He stomped back up the stairs and back into his room, closing the door behind him. Did you see that? See what, honey? Judith was still looking at the TV. He had raw meat, Judith. I know we already tried, but we have to get that coat off of him, for Christ's sake. Judith's eyes never left the television. No, I have to get that coat off of him, and I will tonight. Her tone was nonchalant, as though she was talking about cooking dinner or hanging up a picture frame. "You will?" I replied, not even bothering to hide the skepticism in my voice. "Shut up, honey, it's my favorite part." Exhausted, I somehow found it in me to sleep, knowing that my scissor-wielding, raw hamburger-eating son was in the very next room. I dreamt that I was surrounded by nothing but absolute blackness, a baby crying somewhere near me. I couldn't move, even though I wanted to help, but with every passing second, the crying only got worse. "Where are you?" I cried out, but I received no answer. Then I noticed it, straight ahead of me, either inches or miles away. It was a winged creature with the face of a horse and the body of something furry. It was flying towards me, and for some reason, I knew that something terrible was going to happen once it reached me. I could see that it was wearing a coat. Melvin's coat. Melvin. I could hear my son screaming. I sat straight up, sweat running down my face. My wife was not in bed beside me. I jumped up and dashed out into the hall, then over to Melvin's room. I tried the knob, but the door was locked. "Mommy, no, mommy, no, 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 don't do it, mommy, no." "Judith, darn it, Judith, open this darn door." I ran my shoulder repeatedly into the door, but just when it was about to give away, it suddenly opened. I fell, hitting my head hard against the doorframe. My vision blurry, I looked up at my wife, who was now wearing the coat. She was also wearing a fresh coat of a scarlet fluid, which dripped down her smiling face. "Judith," I mumbled, my head ringing. "Judith, what did you do?" "I like this coat, it's mine." She walked down the hallway humming, back into our bedroom. I forced myself onto all fours and looked towards my son's bed. I stayed there for a minute, then 5, then 15. I relaxed myself, resting on my knees, and just stared. I stayed there, maybe for an hour or 4, I'm not sure. Then I got up and stumbled downstairs. By this time, Judith was in the kitchen, wearing the coat, finishing up breakfast. I plopped down in my chair and just stared at the plate of bacon and eggs in front of me. "Orange juice, dear?" I said nothing, only stared at the food. Drool dripped down my face onto the table, pulling up into a sticky mess. My wife placed a glass of juice next to me and sat down, begging to eat. A few minutes later, I started these too. That was 3 days ago. Judith is out in the backyard now, tending to her garden. I can see her from the window, the sun shining in her matted, messy hair. And all I can say is one thing. That coat sure does look nice.